Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
All right, everybody, welcome into the postgame show. The Bills, they fall, but some good storylines to come out of this game. We'll hear from head coach Sean McDermott coming up shortly here. And so the Bills, they lose in this game to the Carolina Panthers, who largely played starters to start this game. We were just joking, Jack Plummer, the backup quarterback for Carolina, who played most of the game except for essentially the first drive, finished with some pretty solid numbers at the end of the day. Didn't really look like it throughout the game.
He threw a pretty football.
Yeah.
I'll take that. Yeah. It's preseason.
Throws better than me. Not sure if that's a compliment. The Carolina Panthers, they win 31-26. We'll get through a bunch of stuff here over the next couple of minutes. We'll hear from Bills head coach Sean McDermott. We'll get connected with our fans, brought to you by Verizon, the official 5G network of the Buffalo Bills. Let's hop right into the Skyworks stats of the day. Skyworks Equipment Rental, building America from the ground up. Anthony Brown and Ben DiNucci both put together, I think, two solid performances in this game at quarterback for the Bills. Wasn't sure how much each of them were going to throw the football. Not a lot down the field. Anthony Brown finishes 11 of 12 for 102 yards, and then DiNucci finishes 11 of 15 for 76 yards and touchdown. As a group, they went 22 of 27 for 156 and a score, sacked 3 times. But overall, a pretty solid performance from two guys that have not been here very long, and coming in and helping the Bills at least make this a close game towards the end of the game. Frank Gore Jr. probably our player of the game, 18 carries, 101 yards, and a score. K.J. Hamler, he would go down. Frank Gore Jr. looked like he banged up his knee a little bit. K.J. Hamler came into the game as running back, which is a new thing. Didn't know he did. He went 3 for 21 and scored a touchdown at the end of the game as well. He didn't really add anything in the pass game. Darrington Evans finishes as their leader on the day, 3 for 28 and a score. He also left the game with a hamstring injury, so something to pay attention to as well. On the other side, Jack Plummer, 21 to 29, 278 and 2 scores, a 125.4 quarterback rating. All right, so a couple of things to dive into while we're waiting for head coach Sean McDermott. I wanted to ask you, the only thing other than some of the Bills players, the fringe roster players that we'll talk about in a second here. We got to see Carolina starting offense, Bryce Young, disappointing rookie campaign. They converted a fourth down that ultimately allowed them to go down the field and score a touchdown in that drive. But I wasn't overly impressed considering they were playing third stringers.
And I think that's the thing, too, is you can only take so much from their performance. I think a lot of this was due to the fact that they had injuries earlier on in camp, and so they had to kind of wait to do this. But you could kind of almost see like Carolina's just themselves not a very talented football team. Yeah, Xavier Leggett had a really bad drop. I think in the second quarter, though, he was playing with Jake Plummer, I think, at that point. Young looks fine. He looks somewhat in command. He looks like a guy that's going into his sophomore year. Doesn't look like this was his third ever NFL game. But it really just, you were kind of watching going like, yeah, but they're doing this against a linebacking core of Joe Andreessen and Deion Jones. Like,
yeah,
you know, and that's ultimately where the touchdown comes from, is it's a miscommunication between Andreessen and Jones. They both go cover the wide receiver coming out of the backfield. And then the tight end just goes right through the middle, like no problem. So it that's the thing where it's tough to, you know, look at it and go, oh, you can leave this with so many positives. In reality, if you're a Carolina Panthers fan or even the Panthers themselves, I think a lot of it came down to what Canales was saying when he was talking about the starters playing, which is we just want to get into a routine. You know, we're going to play a lot of 1 o'clock games. We want to get these guys into a routine of getting ready to play 1 o'clock games. And I think they got that, of course.
They played their drive, and they got out of there.
And that was done.
They scored and left the game.
Yeah.
No injuries, it looked like. So the other player in the game that I was kind of paying attention to is Xavier Leggett. He had a tough drop. Really, I think his only target in the game. Didn't really overly impress, and I got the sense that's kind of how the preseason went for him.
Yeah, I didn't really hear anything from him. That was his only target of the day, and it was a bad drop. And don't get me wrong, like, we've all watched Keon Coleman. The talk of the Pittsburgh game outside of Andreessen was, should Keon Coleman have caught the touchdown pass? But, man, that's your only target, and it's a bad team where Leggett probably should have a lot going there. It seems like the talk of the town there, at least the wide receiver position, is Deontay Johnson.
Yeah.
It's not a great spot to be in.
Thielen and Johnson right now.
That's a terrible spot to be in.
Yeah.
Thielen's 48?
51, you know, I think.
Right?
He's pretty close to being able to collect, to be able to access his 401k without penalty.
He's
a good corporate American.
But he did have 100 catches last year. So
he had a pretty darn good season for someone at his, you know, ripe old age. 803-0550. If you were at the game, leaving the game, have thoughts on the game, give us a shout. We'll take your call. Go over whatever you want to go over. Let's talk about the Bills, Zach, and thinking about this game and some of the storylines that came from it. Joe Andreessen played the entire game. I've never seen the team give a guy such a look. Andreessen was given every opportunity to make the team. I'll stop short of saying he's a lock, but I feel pretty good. He's going to make the 53-man roster the way that the last 2 weeks have gone. You know, KJ Hamler finishes the game at running back, which is unique, but showing some position flexibility. I saw Ty Johnson returning, lined up as their primary kick returner, mm-hmm. and then it was Daquan Hardy returning punts. So we'll see if there's, you know, one guy staying for punts, one guy. I kind of thought from the beginning that Ty Johnson would be their primary, their kick returner. And then Hardy, you know, playing the punt return spot. Frank Gore Jr., finishes 100 yards. And, you know, I think he was kind of the guy a lot of people were talking about on Twitter during this game. And I'm not sure they can find a place for him. And I think it's going to be tough to sneak him through on the practice squad.
I think it is going to be two. It's tough. You hope the injury's not anything serious. He left really close to the end of the game with a knee injury. Darrington Evans also left the hamstring injury. So I think it's a big reason why KJ Hamler was out there. It felt like the Frank Gore Jr. thing, though, even when they initially brought him in as an undrafted free agent, was more like, hey, Frank Gore was here. You know, he's a good guy, good young kid, you know, the whole thing. Like, we'll bring him in. He's got pop. I like the way he runs. I have no problem with him. I think you're right, though. I think it's just there's really no place for him, which is frustrating. I mean, we talked a lot about the practice squad, too, with Andreessen. I would say there's also not really a spot on the practice squad for him, but for a very different reason. I think if you put him on the practice squad, you're essentially waving goodbye to him. I just don't know how long he lasts on there. And I would maybe say the same thing for Frank Gore Jr. in that, you know, I think a team that maybe has an injury or two at running back could be like, you know what? Young body, sees it well. Give him a shout. Why not? But I just don't think the Bills are in that position necessarily to have him. They've got maybe three or four guys that they feel good about, but we do have to now wait to see on the injury with both him and Evans. Because that's why KJ Hamler ultimately finished this game at running back, is that there are two guys that they were going back and forth today, and Evans and Gore both go down with late injuries.
Yeah, and well, something to monitor on that. Frank Gore Jr., once again, finishing with 100 yards on 18 carries today. It was really the primary running back. Darrington Evans scored the touchdown and then left the game with a hamstring injury. So they were really down to using KJ Hamler by the end of the game at the running back position. Let's talk about wide receiver before we hop into the quarterback and then the kicker conversation, which I think is going to be a topic of discussion that's going to lead up into week one. And I'm not sure exactly how, you know, Tyler Bass comes out of being the topic of discussion here as we head into the season with some of the issues he's been having, missing a 51-yard field goal today. But I wanted to ask you, you know, Tyrell Shavers has an opportunity early in this game, a Ben DiNucci pass that falls incomplete in the end zone. I thought he should have caught the ball. It wasn't a perfect ball, but it was more than catchable. I think an opportunity missed for Tyrell Shavers to really maybe plan his flag.
I think it's a real big miss because we haven't been able to see the replays. I don't know if you were watching the game necessarily, and here, just listening to the radio broadcast, doing a replay on it, he slows up. It maybe could have been a better pass, sure, by DiNucci, but you can see Shaver slow up, And I think that's a big thing.
And he only throws one hand out there. Felt like if he would have tried to get two hands on it, he'd have a better chance of catching the ball and coming down with
it. In the moment I was with you, I'm like, you got to come down with it, but it's a tough play. Looking back on it, I'm like, dude, it's a wonderful route. I mean, he cooks the cornerback for Carolina.
Got to make the catch. Got to finish the play.
And you got to finish the play. Especially when you're in a battle here to be, you know, the fifth, sixth wide receiver on the Bills, make the 53, be there on game day. Got to make that play.
Was thinking that Justin Shorter was going to have a big day today to make maybe his late push to make the roster. I didn't see it from Shorter, and I just continue to think that he's on the outside looking in, and I would think there's probably a short list of guys ahead of him as priority guys that they'd like to sneak out of the practice squad as well. It's very possible today was the last time we saw Justin Shorter in a Bills uniform.
I think so, and it's tough with Shorter especially because he has all the measurements you would want. But when I have to go back and go, guys, he was a five-star recruit out of high school, we've already lost the plot.
Yeah.
He didn't do much in college. Yeah. And then getting here, I mean, have we really heard his name at all in camp anyways?
No.
No, and that's the problem.
Sal had mentioned he was making kind of a late push this last week or so, looking good in practice. And listen, that part of this conversation about who's going to make the team, who won't make the team, a lot of it, the preseason games aren't necessarily a do-or-die situation. You're going to make the team largely based on your consistency week in and week out, day in and day out during practice and training camp, and then getting the opportunity in those game situations to make a big play. He has yet to really make that play in preseason, and from all the conversations I heard, isn't a guy that's day in and day out at practice making big plays. Like, and say what you will about Keon Coleman, and consistency and some of this stuff. Every practice, every single day, he's making some sort of big play.
Yep, and his thing too is it's like, yeah, he may not be getting separation, but he's making an incredible catch. And to be fair, we talk about separation. Deebo Samuel's made a wonderful career out of a guy who essentially can't get away from cornerbacks.
Yeah,
but he makes a great play. If Keon Coleman's going to be that guy, it may not be the long-term answer, but it'll work. And then you see Justin Shorter, again, a big guy, fast, incredible athlete, but is just not doing anything. And like you said, too, it's just not making any big plays, not consistent. I also kind of look at a late push in camp. To me, that's not a great sign. That kind of feels more like a sign of desperation of, oh, no, like I'm on the outside looking in. I've got to do something here rather than day in, day out. I'm a part of this team, and I am going to be making this roster rather than, oh, no, I can see the door closing, which is sort of what it felt like it was getting to. I mean, like we said, this may have been the last day we see Justin Shorter in a Bills uniform.
Yeah, it's very possible. I think the other guy, too, I don't think made enough plays was KJ Hamler. Got the opportunity as the first reps in preseason as the kick returner and punt returner, muffed the kickoff, but, had a nice bounce back punt return in that first preseason game. But just really, to me, didn't make enough plays in these games. And it's tough. When you're going with the second and third team quarterback, it can be hard to make the plays in game situations to help yourself stand out. But yeah, I think to me, KJ Hamler, Justin Shorter, those guys really are on the outside looking in. We're going to have to wait and see what the injury status of MVS looks like, what the availability of Curtis Samuel is going to be in week one. But I'd be willing to bet there's a receiver in the NFL that's not here. It hasn't been here this summer in training camp and through the preseason that ends up on the Bills roster. I think it's a prime candidate for a waiver wire and or early season trade candidate receiver position.
I think absolutely. I'm somebody, I've been banging the drum a lot of the last few months. I actually really like this wide receiver room, at least the top four. I think it can get a lot done. But after that, it gets really concerning. And you've already seen it. As you brought up, Marcus Valdes-Scantling and Curtis Samuel both pink up knocks. I do think it is a good sign that McDermott has not ruled anyone out outside of Matt Milano for week one.
Yep.
We do, of course, have the empty week that is filled for just college football. Thank you very much. And then we get to the NFL. So we still got 2 weeks here, but I mean, it's a thin room after the top four, arguably five guys. It depends kind of how you feel about Mac Hollins.
And I know they like Shavers. Shavers is a guy they can get to the practice squad.
Oh, I think absolutely.
And I think if you could find a guy that can contribute on special teams at the wide receiver position, a Treylon Burks, a flyer type of player that you could probably get for a late round pick, I think it's something the Bills really should consider as they head into the cutdown day on Tuesday, where a lot of this roster is going to come into shape and frankly across the league come into shape as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, in terms of backup quarterback, real quick, and I had this thought, it was somewhat of a funny thought, but I kind of sat there seriously about it. Did Ben DiNucci show more after being on the team for 2 weeks than Mitch Trubisky showed being on this team for like the entire summer. He felt like a guy that was willing to throw the ball, be a little bit of a gunslinger, add a little bit of an element to the Bills. Sure, he's playing against, you know, the Carolina starters. That's not a great team, but he was playing against starters and was willing to let it fly. And the Bills themselves were allowing him to throw the ball, especially early.
They were, and I said this to Sal during our halftime, interview, that I was surprised. You just didn't know how much they were going to really let it loose. I think largely because they threw the ball five times last week when Ben DiNucci came in, and I wasn't sure what it was going to look like today.
I think we were all expecting like 60 handoffs. Done by 3:30. Let's get out of here. And instead they dropped back and threw the ball. They allowed these two backups to see what they could do. Are either of these guys going to be on the roster, especially because Shane Buechele is likely out for quite a while. Mitch Trubisky, while he hasn't been ruled out for week one, it is a knee injury, and at least up to this point, it doesn't look like he's getting back anytime soon. So maybe the Bills are like seeing like which one of you maybe is going to stick on this roster long term.
803-0550, the number to call if you'd like to get your thoughts in. We're waiting on Sean McDermott's live interview from the stadium, so we'll wait on that for a couple more minutes. While we wait, let's spend a couple of minutes talking about the kicking situation, because it's been a rocky preseason. It's been a rocky training camp for Tyler Bass, and pretty much every day missing a handful, one, two, sometimes three kicks throughout practice. Hits the 31-yarder today, misses the 51-yarder wide right, and that has really been his misses, pushes to the right. That continued today.
And it was never close. I think that's maybe the more disheartening thing, is it was never close. And I think immediately, too, I'm just watching it out in our newsroom here, I kind of tensed up, and all of us sort of did that. We're watching the newsroom going like, come on, Bass, come on. And then it was never close. And you're right to bring up too, like, while his preseason numbers now are 6 of 7 for field goals, every day in practice, any Bills media member seems to be, it's a mixed day, it's a mixed bag. It was up and down for Bass. It's never, man, he was lights out, hitting from everywhere, the whole thing. It sounded like in pregame warmups today he was doing well, but then kickers, it's a fickle position, and it's not a position where you necessarily lose confidence and gain it back. It seems to be more along the lines of, like, you lose it, and it never comes back.
It's really hard to gain it back. And listen, I think, like the Tom Brady conversation about quarterbacks being able to play late into their careers, I think the conversation around kickers gets a little convoluted, because you have one Justin Tucker, you have one Carlson, you have one, Butker. There aren't a lot of examples, and now the kid from Dallas, Aubrey. There's a handful of examples of these guys that just stay good and stay good for a long time. But largely across the league, you have a lot of turnover at the kicker position.
Oh, yeah.
The Bills are in a tough spot with Tyler Bass. They paid him. I talked about this pregame with Derek, and a lot of the recent extensions, short of like Ed Oliver, have been sort of disastrous.
Mm-hmm.
This is probably another disaster.
This is up there.
They're I think in for about $7 million this year for Tyler Bass. He's going to be their kicker this year. They're going to have to work through his confidence issues, mm-hmm, and his execution issues. But if there wasn't a kicking issue before today, I maybe want to stop short saying that if they don't believe there was a kicker issue. I don't think one missed 51-yard field goal changes the script on that. But I think it's a position, it's a player that has come into focus really from like week 10, week 11 on last year until, and those struggles have consistently remained throughout the training camp and preseason, kind of fever pitch to today, missing a 51-yarder at home with no wind, perfect conditions. So definitely some concerns for Tyler Bass on my behalf. There's no doubt about it.
And I think the concerns even go further too, because we're at the last preseason game. The summer's over with. We're going to the season. It's not like there's a better option just sitting there. It's now just a bunch of inconsistent guys or just journeyman guys. You might have somebody come in that's like, yeah, I'm gonna shoot, 88%, 89%, what have you, and you'll be fine, sure. Not going to be thrilled, but then just keep Bass. And so that's the thing, is it feels like now going into the season, it's like you're going to have to live with this. You're going to have to hope beyond hope that he's going to figure it out. And as I've seen a lot of people on Twitter bring up, hope is not a plan. For
hope
anything.
Is definitely not a plan. Not in pro sports.
Not in pro sports. And it seems like they've put themselves in a position, kind of the same with punter, too.
Yeah.
Where, there was a little bit of a competition with Browning, but in one of, like, the first roster moves of training camp, he was gone. So it seems like the Bills are like, no, it's Tyler Bass and Sam Martin. And I'm not unconvinced that since Martin has been holding for Bass, that that's not the issue. It just it's a small aspect of the game, but it's going to loom large this season because that's how last season ended, is a missed field goal. Even though it could be fine, it could be all right. You know, he's still got the boot. I mean, he can still hit long kicks. Just it doesn't feel right. And that position, like you said, there's so much turnover with it. It's not, if they didn't pay him, I don't think he'd be here right now. That's I think the worst part.
I think that's right. And I was a little surprised that we didn't see more competition brought in this summer.
It feels like a miss. It feels it's again, small thing, but it feels very short-sighted. Honestly, same with backup quarterback.
Same with receiver.
Receiver, I could argue, I think they are believing that their young guys are going to really ascend.
Hey, the Sabres really thought that they
were
going to.
I know. Believe me, as Buffalo sports fans are sitting there going, oh, we just did this, and it didn't work out.
We did this with the hockey team for 15 years.
But with the special teams, it kind of feels like just, you know, go to the old standard, you know, the guys that have been here for a while. And backup quarterback, I joke, but it kind of seems like whoever's buddy-buddy with Josh is going to be his backup quarterback.
And that's fun. But,
for 5 minutes.
I mean, and you know, they haven't needed extended time from backup quarterbacks.
Correct.
Luckily. But I wonder, you know, is Ben DiNucci a guy that sticks here? I would think he's probably going to be their third quarterback going into the season. We don't know quite yet what the injury situation with Mitch Trubisky is. I'm not sure we're going to know, you know, very soon. He's probably not going to be ready for week one. So does Anthony Brown stick around? Do they wait and maybe look to see if anyone else frees up? I mean, it's very possible Kyle Allen could free up.
And then we're getting right back to the same kind of conversation of like, well, Josh likes him, so we'll bring him
in. And he's got familiarity. Maybe a Case Keenum, someone like that. Somebody that's got some familiarity that maybe you feel like has played some games in the NFL that
I wish the Bills would start treating that position, specifically backup quarterback. Because up to this point, they have not needed them on the field. That could absolutely change, but as of now, it hasn't. I wish they would start treating it like it was an asset to move on from, to eventually, you know, take a 6th, 7th round pick of a raw, uber-talented guy, but maybe, you know, just never got it in college, and you flip him for like a 3rd-round pick because you get a desperate team like Las Vegas who is starting Gardner Minshew, or Tennessee who has Will Levis. You know, something along those lines of in the middle of the season, like, they don't got it, but, you know, we're talented enough or whatever, what have you. You know, we need something desperately here, and you flip it. I mean, New England did this for years with Ryan Mallett and Jimmy Garoppolo mainly being, you know, the key examples here. But Philadelphia did it for years between Nick Foles, I think, twice, and Carson Wentz.
Yeah.
And ultimately, Carson Wentz, no. Was he drafted to be a backup? No, he's a first-round pick. But they ultimately got value for him. The Bills, there's no value in their backup quarterbacks at all. The one guy they drafted was Jake Fromm, and he's basically the opposite of what I'm talking about. He was a guy that everyone just kind of sat around going, you're clearly a college quarterback at a great school. And that was about it. And he didn't even stick around that long. It's not like he was the permanent Bills backup quarterback. He was there in 20 and 21, and that was it. And I don't even think he's in the NFL anymore.
No.
I mean, you know, it's small things, but it does then lead you to look at teams like Kansas City, where Butker is arguably the best kicker in football. You know, obviously he's in that conversation with guys like Justin Tucker and stuff like that. And backup quarterback, who's their backup? Carson Wentz.
Yeah,
you know, it's small little things. I even think that the Chiefs were ahead of the Bills in terms of like wide receiver by committee. They just can't draft the position post Tyreek Hill. They're bad at it. But they're okay because they have Travis Kelce, maybe the greatest receiving tight end ever. I would argue runaway.
Yeah, I would agree.
But Carson Wentz is their backup quarterback. And Mahomes has had to miss games.
Yes, that's right. They've used backup quarterbacks.
They've used backup quarterbacks very well. And it's
gosh, who was it? Drew? Was it Henny?
It was Chad Henne.
Chad Henne
against the Cleveland Browns in a playoff game. Cleveland kind of burned the Bills a little bit there. Because the Bills ultimately have to take on Kansas City the next week in 2020.
803-0550, the number to call if you'd like to get in. The Bills, they dropped their preseason finale 31-26. They are 1-2 in the preseason. They did finally score their first two touchdowns of the preseason, if that's something you were you know, really overly concerned about.
Well, I popped a bottle of champagne on Twitter. So
I wasn't overly concerned. about them. Here's another interesting one. Zach Davidson, he has that nice one-handed catch today. Quinton Morris is pretty widely accepted as the team's tight end three, has played well when asked to play, and is a special teams contributor. Do we, other than the injury, did we see anything from Davidson today that might indicate that's a battle that might come down to Tuesday?
I thought it was going to be, talking with Sal Capaccio a lot in the beginning of preseason, it was kind of like, hey, you know, Zach Davidson, he's really, like, this dude's got it. There's something there. He's in the red zone a lot. He's a great red zone weapon, because I think he's like 6'7", too, and he's relatively young, the whole thing. And then Quinton Morris kind of turned it on. And even in the Pittsburgh game, I think it was Morris and Davidson that were the leading wide receiver or leading receivers. I think Morris just offers them enough to be fine. They may be looking for a backup tight end in the future.
They've
with Dawson
got a
Knox.
Very deep tight end room.
They you do. Know? They like, do. The only issue with it is Knox is overpaid for now his position. That's it. I mean, that's ultimately after that, you're looking at the tight end room going, this is top five in the league? The situation isn't great, though, because Knox was paid as a one and is now very clearly a two.
Yep, that's right. And, you know, we'll see how his role expands this year. It's got to expand a little bit from last year. Obviously, the injury skewed things a little
really
bit for him.
That really kind of ruined the year, yeah.
Yeah, it skewed things for him, and it took him a little while to get back. It opened the door for Kincaid to be better integrated in the offense. And then, you know, obviously Joe Brady takes over, and I'm not sure there was really a great plan for both of them. We'll see what that plan this summer turns into when we flip the switch and get here in September and regular season games start. But yeah, Davidson's an interesting player. I think there's a good chance he's another guy they could probably sneak onto the practice squad.
Probably.
And not necessarily have to worry about it. And then maybe, see what happens with Quinton Morris. Maybe maybe he's got to go on the IR. I don't know.
He was part of that. What was it last week when McDermott was like, there's guys that are week to week, and then there's guys that are weeks to week kind of
yeah.
deal. Morris is part of that longer term, like, we'll talk to you in a few weeks kind of deal.
Yeah,
so, it might be something where Davidson may be a practice squad guy, but they're like, for right now, we need to bring Davidson up.
Yeah, and I think the other part about the offense is on the offensive line, you know, we've seen in years past Brandon Bean flip position of depth that he's like, I got a guy here that is can make just about any 53-man roster, but we might want to move him. Casey Tuhill is a name on the defensive line. I think the Bills could look to maybe unload because I don't think he's going to make the team. I think Javon Solomon is going to make it over him as their fifth defensive end. Unless they keep six, then I think Tuhill has an opportunity. I would be shocked if they keep six at edge, though.
I would, too. And Solomon's going to get it. I think, number one, he's had a fine camp, no problem at all. I think a big part of it, too, is obviously he's a rookie draft pick, and there is just this feeling with him, especially of he led college football in sacks last year.
He's got a little juice.
He's got some
juice. And he plays special teams.
Yup, and they're probably thinking in a year or two, can we maybe get him to just – he's our pass-rushing specialist.
Yep.
Comes in on third downs. Or even this year. I mean, I think this is ultimately going to be Von Miller's role.
Yep.
Is that on third downs, you come in, rush the passer. That's what you're here for. Maybe they see something in Solomon as well of, like, that's your role. We're going to simplify your rookie year, kind of like what they tried to do with Kincaid, and just this is what you're going to do. You do it really well in college. You've looked good. I mean, I don't think he's had any problems up to this point. He hasn't been a guy that you look up the practice reports from reporters, and it's like, Solomon struggled. It hasn't been that really at all.
Yeah. No, he's had a strong preseason. He's had a strong training camp, and I'd expect him to be their fifth defensive end. Keeping 11 defensive linemen, it seems a little high for me. I think they want to keep an extra linebacker just based on the issues that they had last year. And I think that they like their depth at linebacker. I think they've got guys they want to keep.
I think that is where I think they've done exceptionally well in terms of getting depth, but it's because they've gotten burned now a few years in a row of just crushing injuries. And that's where I've said this a few times. The Matt Milano injury, I felt way worse for Matt Milano, the guy,
yeah,
than I did for the Bills necessarily. Number one, I mean, the Bills themselves were going, be patient. It's going to take some time for Milano to become Milano.
Yeah.
And we were hearing the same thing from camp of like, oh, all right, he's starting to get there, he's starting to get there. Ultimately, this injury will not affect the one he's still recovering from. It could be something
right.
where it's like, all right, he can start to trust his body sooner. But the Bills have done a very good job of having insurance, number one, with the drafting of Eddie Ulofa-Shio. And then as well, is Andreessen a guy where you're like, hey, he's a really good backup guy for us.
And they like They like Baylen Spector. He has not proven that he can stay healthy.
Yep.
Nick Morrow has started games in the league before. They've got numbers. They've got bodies at the linebacker position. But I think if they're going to keep an extra body somewhere, linebacker makes the most sense just because they've been burned by it.
And they've been burned by it. And we saw last year they had to change their defense up with the injury of Matt Milano. We'll see as well what Dorian Williams can do for them.
They're going to keep five safeties. They might keep an extra corner because of Hardy.
Yeah. Oh, man, Daquan Hardy. That's something I want to give the roses to for the Bills. Of just under this regime of Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott, has there been something better they've done than getting secondary players, either late in the draft or through undrafted free agency, and just making roster players out of them? I mean, it's unbelievable. Every year there is a guy that's like a sixth-round pick and down that you just look at and go, he's a roster player. Maybe not on this talented Bills team, but he's going to play somewhere. Rashad Wildgoose was that guy a few years ago where you're like, he looks good in camp. There's nowhere for him.
Yep.
And I think he's still in the NFL. They get good dudes. And Daquan Hardy had some plays today. Special teams as well, but he's had some on the defensive side. They nail that. I think you're right, though, especially with the secondary. There really doesn't seem to be that guy outside of Taron Johnson, which, I mean, he's got his very specific role. Yeah, I think defensive line is what gets bit there in terms of we're going to go a limited group, which is different for them.
I think they've got a lot of defensive backs. They're going to keep five safeties, right? I mean, Cam Lewis, is he considered a safety? He's considered kind of a Swiss Army knife.
Probably should be a safety.
Elam, Ingram, Douglas, Benford, Hardy, Johnson is six right there, plus five safeties.
Yeah.
That's 11.
Yeah.
Plus, you probably want to keep five, six linebackers?
Man, and you start looking, and it's going to be the defensive line that gets eaten into.
Has to be.
Which is different for them, because a few years ago, that's what they were building, was they wanted a rotation.
I just don't think you can go 11 guys on the defensive line.
I don't think so either.
Especially because on the offensive line, you're going to keep Collins, your top five, Alec Anderson, Ryan Vandermark, Cedric Van Pran Granger, Ryan Anderson, Alec Anderson, and am I missing someone? Maybe the kid Gable that was their sixth round pick, right? Maybe he, or maybe he gets to the practice squad.
Maybe.
Am I missing an offensive lineman in there at all?
No, but I mean they like that group. The one I think is definitely going to stay is obviously Van Pran Granger. I think he is absolutely their center of the future, if not next year.
Yeah.
He has been one of the bright spots of the preseason. He has looked fantastic in every single game. You've got the initial group. They've dealt with some injuries as well. Travis Clayton is he's new. I mean, he's the international guy that they picked this year. So he's going to be kind of on his own sort of practice squad thing. I mean, it's going to be the defensive line. The problem is, I mean, that's just not something they've ever wanted to do. They have wanted to be that rotation. I always kind of envisioned them in what they initially were trying to do, like the 2017 Eagles, where it was just they came at you in waves. Didn't necessarily have the clear-cut number one guy. They had Fletcher Cox. I would argue the Bills now kind of have an Ed Oliver. But now they're going to have to go away from that. And you're looking at a guy like Dwayne Smoot, who, was brought in this offseason. Maybe not. Kingsley Jonathan is another guy that just we've kind of all been waiting for him to pop, but do they eventually just go, we've got to move on with this group? Maybe not Kingsley Jonathan himself, but, I mean, you also spent a draft pick on Dwayne Carter. And so, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, it's going to be – I think that group is going to be the one that kind of gets eaten into a little bit.
All right, I think what we're going to do is we are still waiting for Bills head coach Sean McDermott, so we're going to take a quick timeout, and on the other side, we'll have Coach Sean McDermott live from the coach's podium. This is the Buffalo Bills Radio Network.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey. Yeah.
All right, welcome back to the Buffalo Bills postgame show here on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Nate Geary, Zach Jones. We are waiting patiently for Bills head coach Sean McDermott from the coach's podium. We should have that any moment for you here, and we'll bring that live. We'll also get you some live locker room sound as well throughout the program. And just the update, too, and some scores from around the league delivered to you by the UPS store, Be Unstoppable. A couple of other preseason games in action today. Green Bay 30-7 over Baltimore. Houston 17-15 over the Rams. Minnesota has a 26. I'm sorry, that one's also completed as well. Minnesota beat Philadelphia 26-3. Detroit 24-17 over Pittsburgh. In the first quarter right now, it's Chargers 7, Dallas 3. Just over a minute left in that first quarter. A couple of games tonight as well to wrap up the final week of the preseason. The Jets host the New York Giants. That one's at 7:30. And then Seattle and Cleveland tonight at 10 p.m. on NFL Network. If you're bored and looking to watch some preseason football of two teams that the Bills will not be playing. Well, actually, the Bills will be playing Seattle. So you might want to take a look at that game as well. And then college football, big upset. The first game of the year, we get an upset, Zach.
Oh, man. That was perfect. That was perfect. Especially after like all the trash talking by Florida State of like, what do you mean we didn't make the playoff? We were undefeated. I know we looked abysmal on offense and our quarterbacks were bad. What do you mean? And they go out there against Georgia Tech. And I mean, they were bullied. It was a good game to watch though as a neutral. Because it felt like already we're going to have some storylines there. Florida State, now I know you as a Notre Dame fan, you're looking at Florida State and the schedule going, well, that's going to hurt their strength of schedule. Got Georgia Tech on there as well, though. And they're going to start, I think, 3-0 at this rate. Because I think they've got like Georgia State. Or no, it'll be 2-0. And then at Syracuse, week 3, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
And then we've got Hawaii later on tonight, which is going to be awesome because Delaware State almost missed their flight. Well, they did miss their flight. They almost couldn't play the game.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That's going to be at midnight. We really need Hawaii, though, back to being good. I said it earlier today. Like, the nation was better
just
off.
Just relevance.
Yeah. When they were lighting teams up at 2 a.m. on the East Coast, beautiful. That was peak college football.
And it just was nice having, like, being out and being able to watch college football.
Yeah.
Like, I'd be at the bar and be like, hey, could you – he's like, what do you mean?
Hawaii's playing Fresno State. Yeah.
Hawaii's on.
And they're wearing their silver uniforms, and Cole Brennan has like 15 different things on, plus a Pfizer.
Well, I wasn't going out to the bar when Cole Brennan was playing, but you know, I digress. It's still, who was the other quarterback? Remember, they had another well known quarterback.
I'm thinking like number 17, like Monaise or something like that, Bryant Monaise or something like that.
Mm-mm.
I don't know.
Hold on, I'll get it.
Are you thinking Timmy Chang?
Timmy Chang.
Yeah, he's their head coach now.
Is that right?
Yeah, he's their head coach now. Vibes of Hawaii are good. The only problem is they're no longer playing at Aloha Stadium.
You know, Dylan Gabriel, he transferred, to Oregon?
He's now at Oregon, yes.
Is he the starter?
He's absolutely the starter.
They got another good transfer, though, didn't they? UCLA's quarterback also transferred in there?
Potentially, yeah.
But Dylan Gabriel, he should have done the right thing. He's from Hawaii. He should have done the right thing and transferred to Hawaii.
That is always a tough thing. Hawaii is actually like a really good hotbed for especially quarterback talent.
Yeah.
Especially Tua. Quarterback talent. And like none of those like elite dudes. And it's understandable.
They stay.
Yeah. I mean,
they don't stay.
Yeah. Hawaii's either in the WAC or now that it's defunct and only basketball conference, they're in the Mountain West.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
It's tough. But you see guys that leave the islands and they're awesome. I mean, they're amazing, but they go to like these like just completely out of nowhere schools, like way away from Hawaii. And you're like, man, like if any of these guys like stayed and played for the Warriors, like, it would just be so cool. It'd be so, so cool. But yeah, Dylan Gabriel, Tua Tagovailoa, two lefties, that's already defies numbers. Marcus Mariota, I mean, it's two Heisman Trophy winners right there in relatively recent memory. That's good stuff right there, man. That's good stuff. Timmy Chang, though, was from Hawaii, so at least somebody stayed. And put up, you know, record-breaking numbers that were then immediately surpassed by Cole Brennan.
A lot of good tweets on the Twitter box, too, about...
On the Twitter box. That's good.
Yeah. Just about Florida State. And, you know, I think... I don't know. There's something about Florida State that I don't really like. I can't really put my...
I mean, well, they tried to sue their conference to get out of it. That's not ideal. That's never going to get you the underdog mentality of people liking you. Well, them and Clemson have kind of tried to kill the ACC, which, again, not going to get a lot of people to like you. QB DJ, you know, not great. Not great. Then, I mean, that probably does it. That probably does it.
Another quick update, too. Adam Schefter tweeted out a little while ago that the Browns tonight, I mentioned the Seahawks in Cleveland facing off tonight at 10 p.m., that Deshaun Watson will not be playing and has not played since undergoing shoulder surgery in November of last year. Good luck on that one.
I mean, he shot right. There's something really wrong with his arm. There has to be.
I think he might be donezo, which is awesome. Couldn't have happened to a worse person.
Tyler Dunn was on our station, our local station here in Buffalo yesterday, and he mentioned too of like, has a team ever done like the greatest decisions ever in terms of building the roster of the Cleveland Browns? I mean that might be the most talented roster in football. And then disastrous.
I think that gets said a lot. I don't agree with it.
Who do you have
as the most talented roster in football?
For me, it's like Cleveland. San Francisco's got to be up there still for at least another year or two.
Yeah. San Francisco.
Philly?
Philly's probably right up there.
Yeah. I mean, Cleveland's top five, though.
What?
They willed Joe Flacco to, you know, not just him, but like four other quarterbacks to the playoffs.
Okay.
Through like just sheer force of will, the dog pound.
I think they're okay.
Really?
Yeah, I'm not.
I think Cleveland's like a good roster that is a quarterback away from being really terrifying.
I mean, Jerry Jeudy, they paid like $100 million to Jerry Jeudy.
Well, they're desperate.
That usually is good franchises that have great rosters aren't desperate for that.
Well, that's fair. I don't know. I like the roster top to bottom.
Yeah, it's all right.
Great pass rush, great defense overall.
They got one really good player on defense.
He does a lot. Miles Garrett does a lot.
He does.
He does
a
lot.
He's a very, very good player.
I mean, I'll be honest. I was watching the
Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoa, obviously, big fan.
Very good. Of course. You know, Irish, I guess. I don't know. Go Irish. But, I mean, I was looking today for Pittsburgh playing, and apparently Broderick Jones didn't look that bad. And so I take that as a Bills fan going, well, then that just means Greg Rousseau is going to be
poised.
Is he poised?
It feels like he's poised. Is he pilled? Is that what you're saying?
It's more just I'm having a tough time seeing Rousseau as a guy that is going to all of a sudden being like a game-wrecking edge rusher, which is probably not fair. But he has never looked to me as a guy that is going to be your premier pass rusher, that you can sort of build your defensive line around him.
But I still think that he can be a player like, and I'm trying to, like an Eric Armstead almost, right? Like
okay,
he was a defensive tackle, but like the kind of guy that is hard to run against.
Mm-hmm.
I think his ceiling, if we're getting closer to his ceiling this year, maybe he can be an 8.5 sack guy.
Yeah.
Right, I mean, I don't think he's gotten over four in a season.
No, he got to eight the first year with Von Miller.
Rousseau did.
The problem,
are you sure?
Yeah, the problem was once Von went down, his sack numbers went down.
I didn't even know he had that many. I thought it was six.
That's the problem is he's only had that 1 year.
He does have great metrics though.
And he did coming out of Miami.
Yeah.
I that's the problem is, you drafted a great athlete.
Didn't he have 12.5 sacks his last year
in
Miami?
15, yeah. It was a lot.
Yeah.
The problem was it was
he was overpowering guys.
He was overpowering guys.
He's not doing that as much in the NFL level, but I will say he is. If you say by the end of his career that for in his prime he was a top three edge run defender and was a 7 to 9 sack per year guy, I think that's darn good.
I think it's good to just bring up stats here. Rookie year he had 4 sacks in 2022. That first year with Vaughn, he has 8, and then last year he has 5. Of course, that is a year last year where, they actively got nothing out of
his snap count, too. I mean, he doesn't play a lot. All right, we've got Bills head coach Sean McDermott.
I'll get that to you as soon as we can here next time we meet, but time is yours.
Hey, Sean, played a lot of twos there to start the game. What was your takeaway from the offense in particular?
Yeah, I thought both quarterbacks were impressive. Short run-up, practice time. I thought the coaches did a really good job of getting them functional and I tip my cap to those guys. They went in and executed. We're able to run the offense, get us into somewhat of a rhythm, and multiple drives there. And KJ Hamler, Zach Davidson, both came into some roles that we don't normally use them in because we were out of running backs basically at one point. So applaud those guys as well as the offensive staff for being adaptable in those situations, and really the whole team. I mean, these guys have really worked hard for. Since the spring, several months, the effort's been outstanding. The effort today, no different. I know the result wasn't what we all wanted, and what they wanted in particular. But they gave it their all, and I'm extremely proud of each and every one of them. And they're going to be successful, whether they play here, play somewhere else, do something else. I'm convinced of that. So feel good about that.
What did you see, or what did you like from Ben on the two scoring drives, the field goal that he led, and then the touchdown?
Yeah, he just looks like he's in command. Again, last week in Pittsburgh, when he had a similar run up to what Anthony had this week with his time on task and our offense, just in command, not fazed by anything. It wasn't too big, and played smart football.
How much of what you saw today actually factors into ultimately decisions made come Tuesday?
Well, it's a part of it, John, right? You don't just discount it just because it's the last preseason game and we automatically just quickly, when I get back over at the office, move on to the first game of the season. So you want to extrapolate out what we need to from this game, whether it's personnel, schematics, situational things that we can learn from this game as well.
What did you make of Frank Wilkinson
say? I thought he did some good things as well. It's unfortunate that he went down towards the end of the game there, but ran hard, and gave us some juice in there.
How have you seen him kind of grow from the time he got here up through today?
Yeah, probably just like most rookies, probably more and more comfortable as the training camp wore on, and then preseason 1 to 2, and then 2 to 3 as well, and just getting more and more comfortable in our run game and our system.
Coach, what did you make of Daquan Hardy's decision making on returns today?
Vastly improved, and needed. Again, similar to Frank and other rookies, really, that game one, had some moments, some real teachable moments. Game two, better, but still some teachable moments. Today, we're checking some serious boxes there, and so that's really good to see, and credit Day Day and the coaches.
Sean, when you practice next week, either twice or once, what do you want to get out of going into the Labor Day weekend?
Yeah, we will practice multiple days, and it's a transitionary week, at least at the start of it, with the roster decisions that need to be made, and then you have practice squad players that will be targeting that aren't able to be necessarily in the building for, I think it's that one day there, give or take, based off when you do cuts, and then so you're also trying to wait for them to get back in order to have practice and have a full complement of numbers out there. So but big picture wise, Ron, it'll be us continuing to move forward and getting ourselves ready, making sure we're ready to go for game one.
How difficult are the next couple of days for you? Obviously it's a business, as we hear all the time, but there's also a personal side to it as well.
Extremely difficult. The relationships that we're blessed to have formed with these young men, it's the conversations you're able to have, whether it's in spring or at St. John Fisher at camp or on a trip to Pittsburgh, in the off times and the gaps in between the schedules and the meetings, and you get a chance to learn that these guys are real human beings with real lives that they're trying to make it, right? And so you feel for them, and this is a tough business. As I said a few minutes ago, and this is some of what I shared with them last night, is they're all going to be just fine no matter what happens, and that's important to know. Do you think the skills that these guys pick up through playing the game of football, all the life skills you pick up, I wanted them to know that they're prepared either way. For whatever happens, they'll be prepared, and they're going to be just fine.
Sean, this is obviously a huge collaboration over the next couple of days with Brandon, but you personally, how do you approach it, balancing what a guy can do for you now versus maybe some of these younger players that are still developing and maybe projecting what they'll mean to you in down the road, a season or two?
You always want to keep both in mind. And as you mentioned, sometimes for one side, and let's just say scouting, it's always, hey, let's keep the longer vision, and then coaches Let's keep the shorter vision. So at the end of the day, what's best for the team, I know Brennan and I believe this, is fitting it together, right? And, making decisions that are best both short-term and long-term for the good of the club overall.
And when you call on KJ, is he literally working with Skip on the sidelines about a couple of
today?
Weeks?
Yeah. So we called that timeout, but we were out of backs, and so wanted to get a run in there. And KJ was great and did a great job getting to the edge there and brought some juice, man, some good energy. So when Joe called on him and he was like, what do you need me for? And he's like, and we're like, hey, run the ball. He's like, let's go, baby, right? So that's KJ. So it was awesome to see. And then you saw the response from his teammates on the sideline.
Pretty cool. Hey, Sean, you said you had confidence in Tyler, but again, today, I mean, 51 is not a chip shot, obviously, but it's a miss.
Yeah. You know, those are ones, you know, he's got to make. Sal, he knows that. So looked like it faded a little bit to the right there. So that's a kick he's going to practice a million times, I know, this week, and that's one we've got to have. All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks,
all right. That was Bills head coach Sean McDermott live from the coach's podium, brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop at NorthtownKia.com. Timeout on the other side. We'll get you updated on scores from around the league. The Managing the Game presented by, we'll get you the play of the game on the other side. I am the quarterback. We'll get connected with the fans as well. All that coming up here on Buffalo Bills postgame. This is Buffalo Bills football.
Here's a snap back to pass. Going to step up in the pocket and dumps it down underneath to Demir Byrd at the 48. Spins away from two tacklers, still on his feet at the 40. To the 35, tries to stiff arm another, and he's forced out of bounds there after a big game.
Chris Brown on the call. Welcome back to the Buffalo Bills postgame show here on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Before we head to the locker room, let's get an eye on the quarterback. It's brought to you by Great Lakes Building Systems. We keep an eye on your business so you don't have to. Great Lakes Building Systems, our business is protecting your business. Let's go with the lot of them. Let's go with both Anthony Brown Jr. and Ben DiNucci. Each of them combined finish a 22 of 27 for 156 yards and a touchdown with a combined total of 3 sacks for 22 yards, but a quarterback, or I should say QB passer rating of 106.5. Let's go to the locker room now and hear from Bills linebacker Joe Andreessen. It's brought to you by Reimer Home Services. For everything your home needs, trust Reimer.
And, definitely things you can fix, but, things you wish you had back.
What has the summer been like for you? What has the summer been like for you?
It's been cool. I've been working my whole life pretty much for this. You know, I sacrificed a lot of time towards football, and not just me, my family as well. And it's been a blessing, and hopefully it continues.
To even have a chance. I know you always are probably thinking about, you know, what you can accomplish and, you know, shooting for the stars, but when did it feel real? When did it feel like you did have a chance?
A chance in
just
terms
like
of
playing in the NFL?
It's kind of been something that has always felt so far away that it was never going to come, like, true in a way. So, you know, when I finally got here, it's just football at the end of the day. It's similar to the football I've done in the past. So I just, nothing different once I got here. Just glad that I'm finally here.
Yeah. What's the next couple of days going to be like for you?
Honestly, I haven't thought about it too much. Thought about it, but I haven't thought about after the game kind of thing. You know, like I always knew it was coming in the back of my mind, but I haven't thought about it finally being here. So, gonna enjoy these next couple of days. Yeah,
Joe, for a guy that had to kind of grind to get to college football and maybe not get the highest offers, and then go what you did through O'Brien, and then UB, and then get here as a rookie, has that prepared you for no matter what happens between now and Tuesday, you're going to be okay with it?
I don't think the journey is going to be over one way or the other. I'm still going to work. I want to continue to play football in my life. And, yeah, I mean, I went through a lot to get here. And, if it doesn't work out the way I want it to, I'm used to it at this point, to be honest.
Sorry, Joe. What's the last week been like for your family and everybody?
My mom and dad have been getting a lot of people texting him. I come home every day and I see my dad texting people because he likes taking his time and writing out paragraphs and everything. So a lot of people reaching out in the community to my mom as well. It's been cool. Yeah.
Joe, to have your cousin Bo here, what's that been like?
Yeah, I love Bo. Bo's a special kid, and you know, it's awesome to have him be here, have him cheer me on, and I know how much he means to me and how much I mean to him, so it's cool.
Joe, we get asked a lot if you could play Will linebacker a little bit, and I know that they have kind of used you there in some capacity. What's that like for you, kind of playing both sides as much as you can?
We stay in the linebacker room, especially for the young guys. We get taught both positions, and they expect us to know both positions. I've been playing predominantly Mike since, a week into camp. But I feel comfortable playing Will, too. But reps is always good to get, no matter which one you're playing, yeah.
I know you've been focusing on trying to win a job, but have you allowed yourself at all to kind of soak in everything that has been this journey, especially the last few weeks?
The last week's been a little crazy. Had a lot more on my plate this week, I would say, in terms of just responsibility and stuff like that. I'm here to try and continue my career and try and be the best I can for this organization, no doubt.
So you talk about continuing your career. Do you think you proved, whether it's here or somewhere, that you belong in this league?
I think I proved I could play. But that's not obviously up to me. Try not to worry about things out of my control, to be honest.
You talk about the crazy week. Not a lot of undrafted free agents have to deal with the fanfare of playing for their local team. How have you kind of dealt with that and, you know, trying to focus and on just doing your job here?
I don't know how I've done. It's been, like I said, it's been a wild week compared to, like, the weeks before. I had a lot more stuff I had to take care of just in my, like, personal life, per se. It's just trying to find that balance. We're professionals at the end of the day. And, what I had to deal with is probably nothing compared to a lot of household names. So hopefully there's more to come.
Joe, where do you think your biggest growth came from the minute you stepped into a Buffalo Bills rookie camp to now? Where was your biggest growth?
Probably my understanding of the game. I kind of had a similar experience when I went to UB and I transferred from Bryan to UB. Going into a new system, a new scheme. You think you know football, and then you get somewhere else, and they kind of explain it different, look at football different, so kind of opens your eyes up. So when I got here, kind of the same process, even, like, elevated more, you know, just how smart some of these players are. It's mind-blowing. So trying to get there slowly but surely.
All right, Bills linebacker Joe Andreessen there as we approach cutdown day on Tuesday, making a strong case for the 53-man roster. Let's take a timeout, and on the other side, we will get you some more player sound from the locker room, including Bills running back Frank Gore Jr., who had 100 yards rushing today, and defensive tackle Gable Stevenson. That's all coming up here on the Buffalo Bills postgame show. This is the Buffalo Bills Radio Network.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
Bird in motion, pitch play to the right, working off a block, finding the end zone as he lunges over the goal line for a 5-yard touchdown run, just like his papa, Frank Gore Jr., into the end zone for the touchdown.
All right, welcome back to the Buffalo Bills postgame show here on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Nate Geary, Zach Jones. Speaking of Zach Jones, let's get a quick check of the out-of-town scoreboard.
And those scores around the league are delivered by the UPS store, Be Unstoppable. Currently going on right now, just one game in the league. It is the Chargers taking on the Cowboys. Chargers currently lead that game 17-9. Trey Lance just threw a touchdown pass as he is, I imagine, going to be the backup quarterback there in Dallas, especially with the future uncertain with Dak Prescott. Earlier on today, the Lions defeated the Steelers 24-17. The Packers were all over the Ravens 30-7. Minnesota gets a 26-3 win over the Eagles. The Texans take down the Rams 17-15. And the 49ers, or no, those were yesterday. Coming up later tonight, we've got the Giants and Jets. They're yearly. We're just going to hang out at MetLife Stadium, hang out with the two New Jersey teams. That's coming up at 7:30. Browns at Seahawks at 10 o'clock. Both those games are going to be on the NFL Network. Tomorrow, we have got three games, all of them going to be on your television. Titans, Saints, NFL Network at 2 o'clock on CBS at 4:30, the Cardinals and Broncos, and then Sunday Night Football over on NBC, the Patriots, Commanders. However, for that game, Commanders, no Jane Daniels, and for the Patriots, it will be Jacoby Brissett. Drake May, though, expected to get some playing time in that game.
All right, 803-0550 is the number to call if you'd like to get your thoughts in on today's 31-26 loss to the Carolina Panthers. Before we do that, though, let's get connected and go to the locker room and hear live sound from, we've got Bills running back Frank Gore Jr., and it's brought to you by Reimer Home Services. For everything your home needs, trust Reimer.
All right, Frank, I mean, you went out there to tell about the day you were having out there. I mean, you had a pretty big day, I think 100 yards actually total. You know, what did you see? What did you feel?
O-line.
Oh, I'm sorry.
O-line was balling at first half. Just let me get into the groove of the game as I first got in. And as I got going, I just felt the rhythm.
How special was it to have your dad in the house for that performance?
Yeah, it was cool. I mean, I'm used to it now. He's been to a lot of games of mine, and I'm used to it now. But it's pretty cool to see him after the game.
Was working for you personally?
They gave me a chance to get like comfortable, and so as I got my first game, my first few runs were pretty good game, so I just got more comfortable and more comfortable, and then I was able to pop one off, and that got me over the mark.
Yeah, can you take us through the touchdown?
A toss play. It was stretching and I wanted to score so bad, so I just stuck my foot and whoever was in the way just lowered my head.
You also kept your knee elevated by putting your hand on the ground, it looked like, which kept you into the end zone. Did you know that you were, like, that close?
Yes. Coach tell us not to reach. I could have reached and got it, but I'd rather just leave no doubt.
What was the injury? What happened with the
I'm fine. It's just got rolled under. Hurt for the moment, but I'm fine now. I'll be fine.
What's the next few days going to be like for you?
Back to practice on Monday, so... We got off tomorrow, back to practice on Monday.
But will you be thinking about Tuesday at all and the decisions that have to be made around here?
I can't control it, so there's nothing that I can really do about it. But I put my best foot forward every day during camp, during preseason. So whatever they decide they're going to do what's best for the team, and I'll be fine no matter what.
How about putting in a performance in this last opportunity, last preseason game? How much confidence and how nice was it to put a cherry on top of months of work?
I actually felt that I was doing good throughout the preseason. It was just everyone had to rotate, so like I really couldn't get into a groove because I'm used to playing in college all four quarters. So I was excited to come out here and be able to play like a full game again. So that's what I was looking forward to and I was ready for.
Where do you think your biggest growth came from, you know, maybe starting off rookie mini camp, being drafted to this point today? Where's your biggest growth in your game?
The speed of the game. I caught up to the speed. At first during OTAs it was pretty fast. And once we got to mandatory minicamp, I started to figure it out. And then during camp, I hit the ground running. And I also learned a lot from Skip, from James, from watching Ray. We all pushed each other. So I feel like they played a big part into me getting better as well.
What was kind of your mindset going into the game, knowing you were going to get a big opportunity today?
I was ready. I was fired up. I was fired up. I was ready for the moment. Me and D, we talked about it all week. Talked about how we got to get hydrated and get ready for the game.
Do you feel like you belong in this league after what you showed?
Yeah, of course I feel like I belong in the league. I don't know where. I hope I'm here. But it really doesn't matter. Like I said before, Bean's going to do what's best for his team. And hopefully someone's seen something in me. So I'll be fine for sure. So no matter if it's this year, next year, the year after, I'll be fine.
Frank, how about the performance of Anthony to come in and not know the playbook, come in this week and be able to drive you guys down the field a couple times like that?
He's a playmaker for sure. I knew he'll be ready.
All right, that is Bills rookie running back Frank Gore Jr., and it's brought to you by Reimer Home Services. For everything your home needs, trust Reimer. All right, timeout. Let's get back on the other side. We'll close things off. Zach has a hot take for me that he wants to, discuss.
I kind of want to throw it around.
All right, we're going to throw on a hot take that's coming up next here. Don't go anywhere. This is Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Welcome back to the Buffalo Bills postgame show on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. The Bills fall 31-26 in their preseason finale. And Zach Jones has a riddle for me.
A riddle for you?
I don't know.
First a hot take, now a riddle?
It's basically the same thing.
I'm not that smart for riddles. I'm not
I'm not a riddle guy.
No, I'm not a riddle guy at all.
Not a riddle guy.
No, I'm not a puzzle guy either.
I like puzzles, but I don't like riddles.
All right. Well, it's a shame.
And if you think about it, riddles are really just word puzzles.
That's exactly what they are.
Yeah.
Yeah, not a fan. So I really quickly scrolling through Twitter, but it was kind of like a thought-provoking thing. Is football bad in person? Like, is it the perfect TV product?
Very good TV product. Very, very good TV product. I don't think it's too bad in person. And there are bad seats.
Oh, there are terrible seats, yeah. But I think
like
for me,
end zone seats are bad.
Oh, awful.
But so are behind goal seats in hockey.
Yep.
Also bad.
I would also argue anything when you're at the glass, outside of slamming the glass
twice. You want to be above the glass.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's an argument there that it's not great. The tweet I saw, I can't remember, but they were bringing up crowds can be bad. You can't see anything. Mm. Where you know there's a lot of stoppage, everything like that. Where TV, you're no, this is perfect. I get to see everything I want to see. I don't know. I think it's got some legs. Mm. I'm somebody though that is not the biggest I like going to live sporting events. I like to go to a few, but I'm never going to be the season ticket guy for really any sport.
The reason I don't like going to live sporting events is because I usually get too drunk.
Well, that's
and then
yeah,
I don't really
fair.
Enjoy the game.
That's yeah. You're like I spent all this money and I literally can't see.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
That's a shame.
I've been to a couple Notre Dame games.
Really?
I went to Notre Dame, Michigan a couple years ago.
That's fun. That's fun.
That was a fantastic game.
I got to go to my first Texas game. I got to do it.
I'll say for football games, the atmosphere is different than any other sport, though. Right up there with soccer.
I would agree. Yeah, that's the one thing. If you're a big atmosphere guy, the point of it being bad in person is just out the door.
Yeah, that's right. All right, well, that's going to do it for Zach Jones, me, Nate Geary. Thanks to our man Tanner behind the glass on the board. We appreciate you. Until Monday morning, where I will be back in this seat with Joe DiBiase filling in for Jeremy White on Monday, where I'm sure we'll do some reacting to this. Cut down day on Tuesday, and the Bills regular season kicks off in 2 weeks. Can't wait. All right, that'll do it. This is Buffalo Bills football.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.